Welcome to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Oracle and DLT Solutions on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
My guest is Jonathan Albaum, the Agriculture Department's Chief Information Officer. Jonathan, it's a return engagement for you to my Ask the CIO show. In some ways, it's a new time for you. So welcome back to the program, I'll say.
Well, thanks, Jason. It's great to be here. And it is a return. You know, as previously the Chief Information Officer for the USDA Food and Nutrition Service, and I had a great experience working at USDA my first time. I learned a lot, learned about one of our key mission areas. And as I moved to GSA from USDA, I really missed the mission focus that we have here in all of our agencies. And when I had the opportunity to return to USDA a couple years ago, I jumped at it. And I worked for the Secretary's office for a bit, and then about a year ago, I became the USDA CIO.
I remember hearing the rumors that, hey, did you hear who's going to be the new USDA CIO? And someone said, you know, I think it's going to be Jonathan Albaum. And I was like, that makes sense. So talk about that transition a little bit. It's
sure.
Always different coming from a bureau level to a, you know, the headquarters level.
The jobs are very different, even though they both have the title CIO. You know, when you sit in a bureau or one of our USDA agencies, you know, you are squarely focused on the mission of that agency. So, you know, when I was a CIO for FNS, my job was to make sure that the technology supported the FNS mission of helping needy people eat better. And that's what you focused on every day. And as I move into to this job, and you really have to take on understanding and some responsibility for all of the missions, because we touch every single one of them. So you can't get too deep, but it really requires you to have a broad awareness of what we do at USDA. And from the office that I sit in now, we provide a lot of core services that agencies like FNS take advantage of, including telecommunications and network support, email. So those infrastructure services are really critical. And, you know, the better we do with those infrastructure services, the more the FNS CIO or the Farm Services Agency CIO can focus on delivering IT for their mission that directly supports their mission, not broad-based services that, you know, we can provide at a good efficiency from the department. Part of that transition, you know, really, you know, requires you to think differently and recognize that the work that occurs in one agency can have an effect on other agencies in different mission areas, even if it doesn't appear so. We see that a lot of times with security. You might have some security issues in one agency that if they were breached or there was a loss of data, it has a ripple effect through the organization. When you sit at a bureau level, you might not necessarily see that. You're just very focused on delivering day-to-day basis. So it really requires taking a step back and taking a much broader view of the organization when you're the CIO for USDA as opposed to one of our bureaus.
One thing about leaving and coming back to an agency, the agency is in constant change. It's constant motion. How big of a change have you seen over the last few years, you know, since leaving, going to GSA, and then coming back a couple years later?
One of the best changes I saw was the way the USDA's CIO Council functions. There was always a CIO Council, and when I was at FNS, it was a good group of people, but it was very top-down focused, where the department would be providing a lot of direction on things like data center consolidation or email migration, things like that. During the period of the time that I was gone, my predecessor, Cheryl Cook, did a great job of engaging agencies in that CIO Council and giving them responsibility for driving some of the topics and approaches to technology. That was a really big change and welcome for those of us who sat in agencies. And not to say that the former council didn't work well. It did, but there are a lot of great ideas within the agencies, and now there's a very, you know, vibrant exchange of ideas that come from the top and come from the bottom. And, you know, somewhere we meet in the middle and we get some really good results, and we see a lot of collaboration between agencies. So that was a really important change. Also, you know, the focus on cybersecurity became the USDA CIO right in the middle of the cyber sprint last year. At that point, we had the highest levels of USDA, including the Secretary's office and the Deputy Secretary's office, focused on cybersecurity topics, things like the use of PIV cards and understanding where our critical vulnerabilities were, and making sure that there was attention and focus on patching these. We always thought security was important in IT, but you know, this change that occurred, you know, because of the OPM incident and you know other factors, really drove awareness of cybersecurity across the whole organization. So the IT environment that I came into was very different because everyone was talking about cyber. And we were now able to do it with this reinvigorated CIO council where agencies could take leads and drive approaches and we could have a real good collaboration. And that's so important when you're dealing with something like cybersecurity, where we have a lot of, we get a lot of direction and mandates from OMB and DHS and others. And we have a lot of, you know, approaches that we want to see agencies implement. But at the same time, with this good collaboration we have, we can really understand the impact of some of these, some of the direction we might give to an agency. And we can have a real dialogue about, well, what's the best way to achieve greater security? It might be this approach that we're describing, but it might be different because of some complexities within an agency. And USDA is very complex and very diverse. We have 34 different entities, 17 offices, 17 agencies, and we do just about everything you could possibly imagine a federal agency can do. We have people in national forests. We have people fighting forest fires. We have people working on nutrition policy or supporting farmers or making loans in rural America. We have many scientists doing research. We have inspectors of all kinds of things, poultry, grain, different products. And when you have that many kinds of jobs and kinds of you know, professionals in an organization, you're going to set up your organization to support that, the different kinds of work. And as a result, not every single approach to cybersecurity works. It's not always easy to get somebody a PIV card if they are stationed in a national forest, or if they're focused on, you know, fighting forest fires, they may not be, be thinking about cybersecurity the whole time. So you need to be aware of how diverse the environment is, and that diversity, you know, is really one of our strengths at USDA. It's not something to try and fight against to get everybody to fit in one solution. You really have to understand it, and once you understand it, you can develop solutions that, you know, work in our different kinds of settings.
I think your point about complexity is interesting because I'm hearing that more and more from CIOs who are gaining that better look into their agencies because of the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, FITARA. I think the understanding by CIOs is getting greater. I know USDA has been really out in front with FITARA. Let's talk a little bit about that law and how it's impacting USDA, specifically as it relates back to the CIO Council you brought up just a few minutes ago.
FITARA is a really great opportunity, I think, for all agencies. And, you know, at USDA, we have been out in front in some areas. We have a you know, some very dedicated employees who see FITARA as a way to gain insight into agency IT spends that we haven't always really understood, especially when, you know, you think about the diversity and you think about the research labs and all these different kinds of operations that we have. There's a lot of IT that we're aware of, but we want to know more about. And FITARA gives us a mechanism to understand that. The agencies are, you know, generally speaking, embracing FITARA and recognize that we have these this mandate from Congress now, and we need to work very collaboratively between the department and our agencies in order to meet the requirements of the law. You know, specifically around investment management and understanding, you know, the CIO understanding acquisition strategies across the organization. A really important first step for us is to make sure that agency CIOs know all the IT that's occurring in their organization. And in many cases they do, but in some cases, you know, FITARA can really give them a boost that they need and help them maybe not manage all the IT, because that doesn't, you know, we have some setups where the CIO manages some but not all of the IT, but at least they can become aware of all of it. And once they're aware of all of it at their level and they can share that up to the department, now we have the ability to look across at some things that we've never seen before. And there may be opportunities for collaboration that appear just because we're looking at the data in a different way. I think one of the other challenges we have around FITARA is workforce planning. Everybody here wants to do better workforce planning, but it's figuring out and understanding all the people who are doing IT to see that, you know, superset of IT professionals that we have here that will really give us some good insight into where we're strong and where we can seek to improve. And so that's a real opportunity for us. I think people recognize that as a good opportunity. And, you know, we'll have a ultimately some kind of, again, collaborative approach to workforce planning at USDA that will result from the fact that, you know, we have FITARA in the books now.
One of the things about FITARA that I think stands out is the fact, and I think you guys are one of the few agencies that have a dedicated team to really focusing on FITARA. Is that right? Do I remember that correctly?
Yep. Yeah, we hired, I'll call him a FITARA operations officer for now, and he's responsible for the law from top to bottom at USDA. And, you know, today he's working with individuals from my organization and the various IT organizations to continue to craft our plan, focus on its implementation, and, you know, really set up a process to make sure that we are doing the things that the law requires and that agencies have the support to do the things that the law requires. Because there's a lot of new activities that we're expecting agencies to do, whether it's workforce planning or new requirements around investment management or acquisition planning. And in some cases, agencies might need help. And we're presently working on developing an approach to creating a dedicated team that includes our FITARA operations officer and some employees and probably some contractor support to provide a service, if you will, that can embed with agencies, get in there, help them understand some of their requirements, provide information up, whether they're acquisition plans or investment information about investments or workforce planning, what have you, and hopefully teach agencies how to do some things that are required. So I think the dedicated team is going to be a real benefit to us over time. Firmly establishing that team and, you know, having dedicated resources is something that we're working on right now. I think over the next 6 months or so, you know, that team will get fleshed out and will be close to fully staffed, and we'll have some real benefit from that.
I'm very interested. I'm hearing more CIOs talking about getting someone at least dedicated, or not necessarily a team like you described it, but definitely someone has to be focused on the law, because as you well know, as we all know, what gets measured, what gets focused upon gets done.
Yeah, and you know, I'd say, Jason, that the one of the real benefits of having someone focused on this is they can go into the different CXO organizations and, you know, share with these folks that aren't in IT but have requirements under the law. They can really help them understand how the work they're doing today ties back into FITARA. And sometimes we need to, you know, slightly adjust the way we're doing that work, or, you know, establish a new process or procedure in HR or in the budget office or the CFO's office, perhaps. And we can use this team and our FITARA operations officer to make sure those things are happening when they need to happen. You know, ahead of time, really. So just as an example, as we're working on the FY18 budget now, you know, our agencies make submissions into the USDA budget office, and we're going to get them ahead of time to review them for IT requirements, and then we'll be able to have targeted meetings with the IT organization, with the budget office, and with the agency to talk about IT submissions or talk about other submissions, budget submissions that may have IT embedded in them. To get the full understanding of IT at USDA, we're going to have to continue to take actions like that, I think, over a few budget cycles. But, you know, this year we're really going to be building that muscle with this team and, you know, with these connections we have into our CXO organizations. That's just one of many examples.
All right, very interesting. Jonathan, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can jump into some of the older priorities. My guest is Jonathan Albaum, the Agriculture Department's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller.
You're listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Oracle and DLT Solutions on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Oracle and DLT Solutions. Once again, here's your host, Jason Miller.
My guest is Jonathan Albaum, the USDA Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Now, Jonathan, before break, we're talking a lot about kind of your transition back to USDA after you had left and gone to GSA for a short time. During that time, I got a chance to sit down with your predecessor, Cheryl Cook, and it's been a couple years since she was on my show. So I just want to start with some older priorities. One of them is something you actually mentioned just recently, network consolidation. I know this is really been a tough road for a lot of CIOs at USDA to consolidate these 17, 18 separate networks. Let's start there. How are you going to do that? What's your plan?
Network consolidation, we really like to talk about it as network modernization, is a great opportunity for USDA, and we plan to use the NS 2020 contract as the basis for that modernization. So some of the challenges that, you know, any large, complex, federated organization we'll have with a thing like this is you're moving from 17 networks into one, or maybe not one, but certainly fewer, far fewer. You know, the way we do work is really going to be very different. So there's a lot of change management that you have to be prepared for, and in some respects, it's far more important than the technology. Because today, we manage networks in so many different organizations. There's a lot of people doing this work. One of the most important things that we need to do is come up with the concepts of operations about how we're going to operate in an environment where not every agency has its own network to manage. So there's lots of questions come up. Who manages the local area network? Who manages the wide area network? Who manages different technologies? Is it the USDA CIO's office? Are some of those aspects delegated down to agencies? And I care more about the process by which that we work with our agencies to collaborate on that concept of operations than exactly what it is in the end, because the success or failure of this is going to be based on buy-in from our agencies. And we need to take approaches now that create a shared ownership of this new network, of this modernization effort. So the most important steps we're taking right now are directly engaging agencies and forming, in the spirit of our CIO Council, collaborative teams with employees from the CIO's office, but employees from all of the agency organizations, and letting the agencies lead this conversation in a lot of ways. Ultimately, you know, we will select technologies that make it possible for us to have one network and take advantage of emerging technologies like software-defined networking, or, you know, we need to be thinking about cloud connectivity and security services and whatnot. But we have a lot of smart technologists here, and I am confident that we could design solutions that will be right and for us and take advantage of the new networks contract. But ultimately, if we don't do it in a way that respects the diversity of our organizations and respects the mission and operational requirements of our agencies, we're going to have some real challenges. So network modernization is a top priority for us, and the approach to modernizing our network is going to be one where we have a lot of collaboration. We have our office and the CIO's office work with agency offices and develop solutions that work for all of our organizations. So will we get down to one network? We hope so. Cautiously optimistic, but in the end, that's going to really depend on some of the technology choices we make and some of the underlying complexities we have in our environment. It's important to note we have between 6,000 to 7,000 locations today where we have employees who need connections back to the USDA network. So exactly how we architect that remains to be seen, but we know it's possible, and it's just going to require an ongoing conversation with our technology organizations across USDA and leveraging the good relationships we've developed with our agencies through the CIO Council.
Jonathan, one of the things that I know GSA has talked about generally is, I think it was USDA put out an early RFI to start the process. Have you already started that planning process?
Yeah, we're definitely in a planning process now. You know, I don't have exact timelines, but our expectation is that it'll only be a few months after the contract's awarded, the network's contract's awarded, that we'll be able to begin engaging with industry in our fair opportunity for USDA network services. So more likely than not, it's some point in early next calendar year, hopefully by spring, you know, we're fully engaged with industry in determining solutions for the future of the USDA network.
Do you foresee some kind of cloud setup that's going to be maybe the infrastructure or platform as a service will be kind of the basis? Now, it may be two types of clouds, as you said, you know, maybe a hybrid cloud where you have some in the private cloud and some in a public cloud or some kind of mix. Do you foresee that right now? Or
yeah, absolutely. Cloud is one of our other key initiatives. Today, USDA run, you know, a very large data center in Kansas City, locations in Beltsville, Maryland, and also St. Louis, called NITSI. Some folks out there might be familiar with it. And over time, the services we have at NITSI have evolved. We originally had mainframe services, then colocation services, and over the past few years, we've developed a number of cloud services, including, you know, a platform as a service solution that many of our agencies take advantage of. It actually has FedRAMP certification. It's quite a good service. But I know from having sat in an agency and talking with our agency CIOs that, you know, that's not enough. And many of our agency CIOs want to explore commercial cloud options. And one of the first things that I tried to do as I came on was, as I understood what these requirements were, make it very clear to agencies that, you know, we want to embrace the commercial cloud along with the platform as a service options we've developed at NITSI. And ultimately, I expect that we'll have some kind of hybrid environment, as you're describing. We established a director for cloud strategy and policy. You know, that individual is charged with working across agencies to understand cloud solutions they're considering. We're working with Microsoft Azure now to establish development and test environments, and that will lead to production environments. I think we'll focus on Amazon Next, and with a similar process of establishing dev and test environments, and then production environments for Amazon. You know, and these things will live in the USDA IT environment along with the hosting services we currently provide at NITSI. And I think that will give the agencies good options. And not every application should be in the cloud necessarily. Not everything needs to be hosted in a USDA data center. There's a lot of reasons for making one decision or another. And we're trying to take away some of the personality-driven element from that decision-making process and break it into more of a, you know, decision tree, if you will, you know, based on either security requirements or functionality or the kinds of people that are accessing the system. Get it into the right place based on the, you know, based on the requirements, not based on the fact that I like this service over that service, or I want people in my data center. I'm trying to think of it much more holistically, and, you know, focusing on what's best for agencies. And the you know, I think the long term will always have some kind of internal hosting capability like we have with NITSI. It'll evolve for sure, but we'll have something like that, and we'll also have a lot of be consumers of a lot of commercial cloud services. We already consume a lot of commercial cloud services. We're trying, through this new position we established of this director for cloud, get a handle on all those things, and as we move forward with them, do it in a much more, I don't want to say consolidated, but, you know, corporate way, you know, where we're looking at these things together as opposed to lots of different one-off solutions.
And that was part of my next question is, I imagine during these CIO council meetings, as you talked about earlier, that comes up, hey, I need some cloud services, software as a service for this and whatever this is. And then someone says, hey, I need that too. And that's where if we put it in the cloud at NITSI or somewhere else, then we all can have access to it. I imagine it's those kind of conversations that you hope are happening or are happening. And that's where this person, this director of cloud, comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. Those conversations are happening. Sometimes I can hear them in the hallways. but I know that's the kind of talk that's happening. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback from agency CIOs that, you know, those are the conversations that they want to be having right now. And, you know, we'll get a lot of things into the cloud over the next couple of years. I'm confident of that. But I'm also confident that we're going to do it in a way that is as secure as possible, minimizes operational risk, and, you know, supports the best solutions for USDA. It's not my intent to say, hey, we have to put everything here, you have to put everything there, you have to use this service over that service, you have to use an internal service, and don't go outside of USDA. We really want to create an environment where people recognize that the best solution for this particular system or service may be one that we don't manage directly and feel comfortable with that. We know we're doing it, and we know a lot of other people are doing it. We know industry is doing it. We believe we can get there too. It's just part of a larger cultural change that, you know, we're experiencing across the USDA IT community.
You mentioned the DevOps and the production environments. Do you have specific maybe mission areas or mission type of apps that you're saying we could put those in the cloud, or at least you're looking at the cloud? Can you be more specific anywhere else?
I don't know that I would focus on necessarily mission as opposed to, you know, the kinds of services that might sit in the cloud. You know, we're still having, you know, internal discussion about, you know, do we want to have PII information in the cloud? We wouldn't today, but maybe in the future we would. You know, we think like low-risk systems are good candidates for the cloud, websites, of course. We have only a few high-risk systems here, but we have a lot of moderate-risk systems that might have sensitive data. And, you know, it's a really important conversation for us to have with our security organizations, with our agencies, And even with our sub cabinet officials talk about, well, we might be able to achieve lower costs, but here are some additional risks, and move the conversation just out of the IT organization into the mission areas, and you create an environment where everybody's thinking a little bit about security and accepting risk. It's not just the decision sometimes of the CIO to say we're going to do this. I think the environment is improved when we're able to have a conversation with the undersecretaries or with the agency administrators and say, hey, you have an opportunity to save cost. You'll pay less money, but here's the increased risk. You know, are you willing to accept having this data in the cloud? Here's what could happen, but here's the benefits to doing that. And get people outside of the IT organization engaged in these decision-making process and have ownership of these decisions, you know, go beyond the IT organization. I think as we get there, we really begin to build a strong organizational muscle around good IT decision-making, and we take ownership of decisions that sometimes are relegated to someone in IT and maybe not even the CIO. So those are sort of, again, back to that cultural change that we're working on here. And I think it just leads to better outcomes overall.
Jonathan, USDA was one of the first agencies to move its email system to the cloud. That's happened, I think, was 2010, maybe 2011. So here we are 5-6 years later. What's the status of that email contract or email effort?
Our email still sits in the cloud. It's in Microsoft, and you know, we're very pleased with the solution. It's provided, you know, great opportunity for agencies to take something off their plate that they used to focus on every day. When I worked at FNS, we ran our own email system until we migrated in 2010 or 11, as you said. And you know, every morning I'd wake up and I'd check my I'd check email to make sure it was operating. I didn't want to get into the office and find out email wasn't working. It was a lot of responsibility, and I very much appreciated as we migrated email from our own email system to the USDA email system, shifting the burden and the responsibility from my office to a larger office that had an expertise in real expertise in email. So I think agency CIOs see that now, and all appreciate the fact that email is reliable and it's secure. In terms of recompetition, I'm not sure exactly what our timeline is. We're always open to new technologies and new options, but in the present time, we're very pleased with the solution that we have.
All right. Well, that's always good news. It's nice to hear when things worked out like you expected to. Here we are, you know, almost 7 years later, and you're still happy. So that's good news. Jonathan, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can jump into some other priorities. My guest is Jonathan Albaum, the Agriculture Department's Chief Information Officer, and I'm your host, Jason Miller.
You're listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Oracle and DLT Solutions on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Oracle and DLT Solutions. Once again, here's your host, Jason Miller.
My guest is Jonathan Albaum, the USDA Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Now, Jonathan, before break, we talked a lot about some older priorities. We got into some newer ones around cloud. One other older priority I do want to touch upon real quick is this idea of reducing duplication and investments around software. I know that's something that your predecessors focused on. I'm sure every CIO is now focusing on, giving the efforts around category management and the like. So give me a sense, how is USDA continuing that focus on reducing duplication among software investments?
This is an area of focus for me and for probably every CIO in the federal government right now. And we have some really good stories to tell at USDA. Just in the past month or so, we had a really big win with one of our important software vendors. We had opportunity to take a look across a BPA that we have, where many agencies were buying a particular some products from one vendor, and we saw that we were paying lots of different prices for the same things. And by sharing that data, we were able to get a consolidated view of this particular software at USDA, and that gave us great leverage in having that conversation with the software company, and we were able to reduce our overall spend. At the same time, that company is set up to do a lot more business at USDA because there's a good understanding of what it costs and how it can be used and where it's being used. So it was really a win-win for everybody. We got better pricing, and the vendor got a good view of USDA, and the agency CIOs have a good understanding of how this contract works and how they can buy off of it. So we're trying to do that across many different software products right now. And this idea of having some sort of enterprise license agreement, you know, whether it's for things we buy from IBM or things we, you know, other particular softwares like Adobe or whatnot that we buy, you know, we're very interested in having that same kind of conversation. I think that, you know, that's just one of the many benefits of having a good collaborative organization and having a CIO council where people come together and talk about these different topics. So over the past couple of years, we've had a number of savings like that. You know, we saved, I think, close to $9 million over 3 years by reworking the terms of our email archiving contract. We have an emergency notification system at USDA that some of our offices were using. We've approached that as an enterprise subscription now that people can utilize. And, you know, we have several thousands of dollars of savings there, too. The long term, I think, is, as you said, category management and establishing, you know, that software license manager who has access into purchasing across organizations. Again, something that's made easier through some of the through FITAR a little bit, and figuring out where you want to target. You know, where do we see good opportunity to drive better pricing through collaboration and, you know, good conversations with our agencies and with our vendors. So that's a long-term opportunity for us in a place like USDA that spends billions on IT. We have a lot of opportunity. We've been focused on strategic sourcing over the past several years. We focused on, you know, different tools, things like Cisco, things like Esri, other softwares that, you know, we're all using in some capacity, and we all had many individual contracts. So in each case, we're able to achieve savings by looking at it together. It's really just a matter of getting everybody focused on this particular opportunity over another one and being able to dedicate the time that it takes to gather pricing and look for good solutions. So ongoing effort, one that we're going to be committed to over a long term, but has really highlighted to us across USDA that it's very important that when we're working with our industry partners, we work collaboratively with our fellow agency CIOs. It's been too often that we've encountered a situation like the first one I described where we were paying, you know, vastly different prices for the same software across the department. And, you know, my message to vendors out there is if you're working with USDA and you see opportunities to get your software utilized by one of our agencies, and then you see another agency might want to use it and so on and so forth, instead of trying to hit us individually and strike these individual deals, I'd be really excited to engage in a conversation with you about how that software might be able to support all of USDA. It might not turn into some sort of enterprise opportunity, but at least, you know, if we're talking about it, we might see, you know, opportunities that aren't apparent if you look at, you know, one organization or one use case at a time. So we'd much rather have conversations that talk about the enterprise and, you know, see pricing that supports the enterprise as opposed to, you know, individual point deals. I think it's better for USDA, and I also think it's better for, you know, for the software vendors as we consider things more corporately. There's just more opportunity. We have so many people here, and we spend so much on IT. We want to do it as smartly as possible.
I think that's great advice for vendors because too often, you're right, they are selling point by point. But as you said, they can do a better deal, maybe even more business in some ways if you can do it from an enterprise perspective. When you mentioned that first vendor that you worked with that you're seeing a big savings, was your reaction first hesitation or did they get it right away? Because so much of category management and strategic sourcing has really been focused upon over the last few years.
Yeah, I think it took a few conversations to get there. You know, there's concern about, well, you know, if we look at it, you know, corporately with, you know, corporate pricing, you may have some challenges if some agencies buy less of the software than they have in the past. It might infect, you might have unintended consequences. And they're right about that. So we need to be able to make good commitments to, you know, to vendors about what we're going to buy or what we expect to buy. And, but, you know, over time, there was a great willingness to work with us, and we had a great result in the end. And opportunities to build on that and do better, even better the next time. So I think software companies see it, but sometimes, you know, it might take a conversation or two. And I'd encourage everybody out there to, you know, think about it holistically. Think about the overall organization. And, you know, that applies to folks who are sitting in an agency trying to develop good solutions in support of their mission, to the vendor that's trying to sell something in there, to folks who work in a, you know, a central IT office like mine. How do we, you know, create the right conversation so we see what all of the opportunities are. Sometimes it's really hard to pull yourself up and think about it that way, but to the extent that we can, I think it really produces better outcomes.
All right, again, as I said, good advice. I think it's good to hear that vendors are coming around. We've talked a lot about some older priorities. Let's talk about some newer ones. I know you've marbled them in during the conversation. What are you really, what's on your plate? What are you trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
We're really focused on network modernization. We're really focused on cloud. Those are going to be priorities that we have over the next few years, but we really need to have those two efforts really embedded and be things that everyone in the USDA IT community sees as great initiatives and things that need to continue into the next administration. You know, and then in addition to those things, standing up our FITARA team, making sure that we have good momentum going into the transition, and then also continuing to be focused on cybersecurity. We've had a lot of good success over the past year in cyber, and we have tremendous momentum around a cybersecurity scorecard we created. We're able to share with the Secretary's office and the Deputy Secretary and our undersecretaries information that is, you know, that they're surprisingly interested in. You know, how many of their systems have an authority to operate? How many critical vulnerabilities do they have? How many, vulnerabilities exist on the computers that their employees use? We've been able to consolidate this information in a way that's meaningful to them, and we can share it with our mission areas. And I know that agency CIOs are having conversations with agency administrators about, you know, an overdue plan of action, a milestone around a cybersecurity requirement. Because we're sharing this information, you know, at a very high level and having, you know, monthly conversations with the undersecretaries and secretary's office about it. So that's been a great achievement, and we don't want to go backwards there, because there's a lot that we've accomplished because we have this information flowing freely from our office into agencies. I think, long-term, we need to be able to get cybersecurity out of something that people feel like they have to do to something that they kind of want to do, and be able to strike the right balance between the cybersecurity requirements that I know I have in my system and, you know, new functionality that I want to add. We have to get, I think, as a government, to a place where we're routinely thinking about these requirements in the same breath as we're thinking about new functionality, new system requirements to make our systems better. I don't think we're exactly there yet, but we're definitely shifting the needle at USDA because we're sharing information, we're talking about it, we're explaining risk and, you know, possible impact into our agencies. One area in cyber that we're, you know, really proud of is the focus that we've applied to phishing. And we've run some different anti-phishing campaigns that included training for employees, that included some security controls around emails that have links, warning users, you know, that they may have an email with a malicious link in it. We're never going to be 100% perfect, but I am confident that we've improved. Every time that we do a phishing test, we see some better results. So it's still a big risk across the government, certainly a big risk at USDA, but, you know, we're better prepared for it now. And we can have, again, we can have these conversations, we can have this focus from leadership on cybersecurity, and I want to make sure that as we move into the next administration, we're able to maintain that momentum.
Let me just take a quick break and we come back, because I want to continue the conversation on cybersecurity, and I definitely want to jump into a CDM, the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program. But we're going to take a quick break. My guest is Jonathan Albaum, the USDA Chief Information Officer, and I'm your host, Jason Miller.
You're listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Oracle and DLT Solutions on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Oracle and DLT Solutions. Once again, here's your host, Jason Miller.
My guest is Jonathan Albaum, the Agriculture Department's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Jonathan, you started down the path around cybersecurity. The scorecard you mentioned for your executives is very interesting. I think something that a lot of agencies are starting to look at, way to present information in a dashboard or however, so people can understand it and then take make decisions from it. I also mentioned before break a little bit about the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program, the CDM program. I know USDA is, I think, ahead of others. Let's just talk about where you're heading with both CDM and more generally the post-cyber sprint environment. How are things looking from a USDA perspective?
We're fully engaged in CDM right now, and we have a lot of focus and attention on it. We have successfully implemented some pilots at a few of our agencies. We have a lot more work to do, but we have high expectations about what, you know, various softwares are going to provide us. And we're really building that sort of muscle around, you know, scorecards and being able to share scorecard information with our agency's leadership through the scorecard we have today. We think that scorecard and the access to information about the status of our network is just going to be improved through CDM. And we're really looking forward to the move in through the different phases, you know, really as we get into phase three and we're talking about, you know, really understanding what's happening on our network. We've already built some tools that give us this information. We have a security operations center within our organization that today uses tools to see what's happening for much of our network. We think CDM is going to give us even more information, and once we have that additional information, we'll be very well positioned to react quickly as things are happening. And also, not just react, but, you know, be proactive and take approaches and work with our agencies to take approaches that, you know, keep the network more secure from the very beginning. The worst thing is to find out that something bad is happening. Best thing is to find out that something bad could have happened, but steps we took beforehand prevented it. So we think that some of the tools we have today, some of the tools that will come in through CDM over time will give us that standing. You know, in the I mentioned we had some successful pilots so far at Food Safety Inspection Service and APHIS, the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. They completed the deployment for hardware asset management solution using Forescout recently. And, you know, we're seeing good results. So, again, that gives us good optimism about the rest of this project. I think we all have some, you know, outstanding questions about timing and ongoing costs. But, you know, I think as we talk about those things across government, we'll come up with some, you know, recommendations for DHS and the contractor about how to proceed as those future phases. But so far, we feel pretty good about where we are. I'm not going to claim success today, but we've definitely have good results to date.
Question about the CDM program as it relates to timing and costs. One of the things I've heard from other CIOs over the years is the challenge of, do we invest today in tools that we may also get from DHS tomorrow, or do we stick with the tools we have today, knowing that they're not maybe up to par, but knowing that DHS is giving us better tools tomorrow? Do we wait for them? It's kind of the go or no-go decision.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys are facing?
We are. And in some cases, we're having to consider, do we, you know, take a tool that we have in place today that's providing good results and replace it with a tool from CDM? And, you know, I don't think there's any single right answer that applies in every case. You know, you really have to understand the context of the agency and, you know, your security environment. But, you know, I think the generally rule of thumb we would take is that if there's an opportunity to make your network more secure today, you should go ahead and do it. That doesn't mean you necessarily go out and spend millions and millions of dollars on a piece of software you're going to implement and then rip out a year later. But where you can make targeted changes that improve your network security today that could be enhanced through the CDM program over time, you know, my thought is that in, you know, many cases it makes sense to do that.
Jonathan, I know we could talk a lot longer, but unfortunately we're out of time. There's a lot of other topics. The good thing about this is that you're going to be joining us for our Ask the CIO online chat on July 26th at 2 p.m. so people can ask their own questions to you. So thank you for that in advance. Otherwise, my guest has been Jonathan Album, the USDA Chief Information Officer. Jonathan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Oracle and DLT Solutions. The entire show is available on demand on federalnewsradio.com. Search Ask the CIO.